Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around, waiting for the track to dry, is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Understanding power requires more than headlines. I'm Peter Hamby, host of The Powers That Be, a podcast from PUC examining politics, economics, and media to provide context, analysis, and clarity without sensationalism. We ask how power operates, who benefits, and what's at stake. If you want to move beyond breaking news to deeper understanding, join us on The Powers That Be. New episodes every weekday. Follow The Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.
Kale and Company, weekday mornings, 6 till 10.
Rotting potato in chief. You looked at him. It was a terrible thing to see, but Miss Piggy got a pardon. Kermit is very happy. The rest of the January 6th committee got a pardon. They're very happy. And Anthony Fauci got a pardon, and that's probably because he stole money from Harry Potter's bank account. You know, you look at him, he looks like the goblin from Harry Potter. But Anthony Fauci is getting a pardon, too. So now we look for state attorney generals with, gonads, they call them. Moose nuts, maybe, we'll talk about. If they have a set, you know that? It's something that Lindsey Graham has always longed for. If they have a set, maybe they'll go after these people, because the pardons only have to do with the federal people. But, and you know, I want to say something, too, by the way. You played a clip last segment as a part of the highly respected and beautiful cut sheet with these people wearing the hats, right? The hats.
Yeah.
I have never seen one of those. You know, Dawn said the word. I'm not going to say the word because I'll get in trouble. I have never seen one of them that looks like that. Very tough to grab. That much I can tell you.
Oh, my God. Mr. President.
Mr. President, speaking of hats, for those not watching, get on over to YouTube, youtube.com/at1210WPHD, because the President of the United States donning his Make America Great Again hat. He's got the blue jacket, the white shirt, the red tie, the American flag in the background, looking fabulous. So what was it like? I know I did
I
see
a look fabulous, by
yes,
the way.
You do. You absolutely do.
And by the way, you know that you should see me. In my birthday suit, I look fabulous, too.
Oh,
you know,
yes.
The Greek
yes,
gods are very jealous of me, right? They're
yes,
very
indeed.
Jealous. Mount Olympus, they said, sir, how did you get such a beautiful body? I said, a lot of golf, a lot of McDonald's, a lot of Big Macs, right? But I always look. I just want to correct. You know, I just want to add that to the record. I always look fabulous. Always.
Yes. Always.
So take us through today. Take us through the weekend. I saw videos of boxes, people moving in. What is it like, and what has been going through your mind these last 24 to 48 hours as you return to the Oval Office?
Well, we're very happy about it, right? We love to move. It's great. We've moved out. Now we're moving back in. You know, there's a song I wrote a long time ago. I like to move it, and it's a tremendous thing. Madagascar, what a great movie. Beautiful people, beautiful animals, great movie. Yeah. And they used that song in the movie, and it's very popular because everything I do is very popular, including my ridiculous new meme coin, which I promise you is not a rug pull, but we'll see what happens. And now Melania has one, and there's about 15 more family members that are going to probably launch something at some point, right? So we'll see what happens. What a crazy thing we're doing. The first crypto president this year, but we're moving in. Right. We're moving in. Lots of boxes. We have the biggest and most beautiful boxes, and we're moving like nobody's ever moved before. But we're doing very well. We had to move, by the way, the inauguration from outside to inside because it's very cold. It's colder than a witch's, you know what, right?
Uh-oh.
It's very cold.
Yeah.
Colder than the courtroom in New York City, which, as we've talked about, right, it was a freezing cold courtroom. And the lead witness in the sham case, his last name was Pecker. And when it's that cold, the pecker is very small. You know what I'm talking about. But I've never had that problem. It's called shrinkage. You look at George Costanza. He called it shrinkage. But I've never had that problem. And I never will have that problem. Obama said I had that problem when we were at Jimmy Carter's funeral. I said, Barack, you know I don't have that problem, right? He said, he started laughing. He thinks it's hysterical. You know, he thought he had a genetic advantage over me, but that's fake news. I can tell you that. But you look at it, we're moving in. We're very happy to be moving in. The White House is going to be a beautiful place once again. We we brought him back, The Exorcist. He's coming into the White House. He came in and started blessing the place with the holy water, and the walls were shaking, right? It was like poltergeist. It was incredible. There's a lot of demons left over in that place. A lot of bad juju, right? They call it bad juju. And I got along very well with Juju Smith-Schuster, by the way. Great guy. What am I to catch? But you look at it, a lot of bad energy, a lot of bad hombre demons inside the White House. We're exercising it. The walls are shaking. The earth was quaking. Got along very well with AC/DC. You know about it. We wrote that song together. But the walls and the White House were shaking. We're getting the demons out, and we're having a real president again in just under three or just over three more hours. That much I can tell you. It's going to be fantastic.
Mr. President, let's get to TikTok because it went dark for about 37 minutes, and then you got things done, as you always do, and restored not only the app, not only free speech, but content creators that make money on the app. What is the plan moving forward, and your thoughts on an app that you really thrived on in the campaign?
Well, we did very well on TikTok, and yesterday I saved TikTok, right? I single-handedly, and their message said it. It said, thank you, President Trump. You saved TikTok. You're the greatest president the world has ever seen. That's the message I got. Other people got a different message. I opened TikTok. It said, thank you, President Trump. You're the greatest and most beautiful president the world has ever seen. And the app is back. And it's a beautiful app and a fantastic app. And thank you so much. They were genuflecting, beautiful people. But it's owned by China. And we get a very bad, bad deal from China. And we're going to try and have it owned in the United States by a United States company. But right now it's owned by China, and we have to fix that. Just like the Panama Canal, a lot of other things that are owned by China, we're not going to let it happen. But we brought it back and we saved it. A lot of people were freaking out, you know? There were a lot of people on TikTok that were freaking out over not having TikTok anymore. They were freaking out like Chris Christie, who hasn't eaten in about 5 minutes. They started scratching themselves and going crazy. But we brought it back, and we brought it back like nobody's ever seen. We brought it back like we brought back the YMCA, right? Nobody wanted to listen to that song until I started using it, until I started dancing to it. And you saw the beautiful village people at the victory rally. One of them was dressed as Elizabeth Warren. You saw that. He had a big, beautiful headdress on. It was all over the place. He was doing the beautiful dance, YMCA. We call it the M-A-G-A. It's fun to stay at the M-A-G-A. Beautiful song. But we brought back TikTok, and the people are very happy about it. We brought back jobs for so many people, right? We created jobs, and we're not even the president yet. And we created so many beautiful, we brought back so many beautiful jobs. And we're going to hope to get that app owned by maybe Mr. Wonderful. We'll see what happens. I gave him that nickname. I said, I'm Mr. Beautiful. You're Mr. Wonderful, right? But we're going to see what happens. If we could have control over that app and we can get the Chinese spyware off of that app, we could turn TikTok into a highly respected and beautiful platform. But they're already very happy about what happened with me. They're thanking me. They're very happy. They sent me a beautiful box of chocolates to which we've eaten already. It's a tremendous thing. But we're happy to have saved it, and we're looking forward to better days for TikTok.
Speaking of better days, there are many things that you have to accomplish here in this final term. We're looking at executive actions that could be well over 100, maybe even over 200. You have promised many things on day one. When you look at all the big priorities for this administration, what are you prepared to do between today and tomorrow to kick things off with a bang?
Well, starting today, we are signing an executive order to bring back the $5 meal deal at McDonald's. You know, it's been missing for far too long. We're going to bring it back, and we are going to send many federal officers and technicians into every single McDonald's to fix the ice cream machine. You know, if I was your president, they never would have broken. When I was your president, we had the largest percentage of working ice cream machines in McDonald's the world has ever seen. Crooked Joe Biden took over, and they all started breaking very quickly, right? We're going to fix that, and we're bringing back the $5 meal deal. We may even bring back the dollar menu. Under Crooked Joe Biden, the dollar menu buys you maybe two French fries, but we're going to have it buy you a big, beautiful meal Other than that, we're going to shut down the border. We're going to pardon a bunch of the J6 political hostages. And we're going to do so many beautiful things, including drill, baby, drill.
Woo!
We're going to drill, baby, drill like nobody has ever seen before. Even Pete Buttigieg is excited about it. And
no.
I said, Pete, Mayor Pete, not that kind of drill, okay? Because, you know, he loves drills and getting drilled. I could just tell you that. It's a tremendous thing. But you look at it. The Green Bay Packers, right?
Packers.
Brett Favre, he did a tremendous job for me on the campaign trail. Buttigieg. But you look at it, we're going to sign so many wonderful executive orders. It's going to be the greatest day the world has ever seen today and tomorrow. We're going to sign executive orders at the Capitol. We're going to sign executive orders at Capital One Arena in front of so many beautiful people who are going to be watching the swearing-in ceremony, nice and warm and cozy and beautiful. But we're going to sign them, and we're going to start making America great again. And then tomorrow, in the windy city of Chicago, very windy, incredibly windy, we're going to start the mass deportations. 200 federal officers are going to go in there. They're going to find all the bad hombres. They're going to round them up. And we're going to take Tren de Aragua and turn them into Tren de Adios, believe me.
Mr. President, final one for you. I know a lot of individuals paying attention to who will be there today. The village people, Carrie Underwood, you go up and down the list. And then, of course, those that will not be in attendance. AOC, Nancy Pelosi, Michelle Obama. Final word, your message, your words to those who are acting like petulant five-year-olds that will not be attending today. Mr. President, you say what?
Well, to AOC, you know, she put up her video on Instagram Live saying it's going to be fascism. And she no longer looks pregnant, right? She looked pregnant for a long time. I wonder what happened. We have to see if maybe she visited a Planned Parenthood recently
because they're into that kind of thing. No, no.
But, you know, she's not going to be there. But she's not allowed to be there, even if she wanted to be there, because we're not allowing stupid people to be at the inauguration, right? She does not meet the IQ requirement to be at the inauguration. Nancy Pelosi is not a stupid person. She's a very smart person, but she's a nasty person. We're not allowing nasty people to be at the inauguration. Plus, it's going to be too cold, and it's not going to work very well for her hip or her walker, right, which is not four-wheel drive equipped, so she's going to have a hard time. She's not going to be at the inauguration. And Michelle Obama, who many people call Big Mike, Mike Motorbike, right? You look at him or her, whatever you think is going on there. I don't know what the hell's happening, but there's not too many women who have Adam's apples. That much I can tell you, and I knew Adam very well. But you look at that, Michelle is not going to be there, but Barack is going to be there, right? Barack. And there's rumors that they are splitting, and I hope that's not what happens, but there may be friction between the Obamas. And we'll see what goes on. But we don't want her there. We don't want her there. We don't want Nancy there. We don't want AOC there. But we do want John Fetterman there, right, Mr.
Yeah.
95, Bang Gavel himself, right? The Eagles. And the Eagles did very well yesterday, by the way. I called into the locker room. I said, you better win. We're going on Kale and Company. They have to be in a good mood tomorrow. And they won. And you're welcome. I helped them win.
Thank you.
We did very well.
Thank you, Mr.
But and the Eagles are very, they're much better than the Eagles, according to John Fetterman. But we want John Fetterman to be there because he is going to be our next Pope of Greenland, right? He's going to be the Pope of Greenland, and he's going to be a Pope that crooked Joe Biden is not going to drop a deuce in front of, right?
Oh,
he dropped a deuce.
That's true.
Operation Tootsie Roll at the Vatican. You know, we did it. We talk Spanish. Sleepy Jose, Caca, and Frente del Papa. And then he went there, and he awarded the Pope the Medal of Freedom because of Caca number one. Then it was Sleepy Jose, Caca, and Frente del Papa otra vez, which means again. He did it two times. Operation Tootsie Roll turned into Operation Baby Ruth or Charleston Chew. He made a big mess, just like he did for our country. But we're cleaning it up, and we're very happy to be inaugurated as the next president today, believe me.
Ladies and gentlemen, give it up for Sean Farish, a.k.a. Donald Trump. He does Trump better than Trump does Trump. SD Palti will be joining us at 9:30 as Kamala Harris. She does Kamala Harris better than Kamala Harris does Kamala Harris. All right, Farish, we got a lot of things to get into. I want to start with the inauguration. The news coming down Friday, probably around lunchtime, give or take, with this, you know, a lot of these festivities, if not all of them, moving indoors. In your opinion, how much of this was weather-related, and how much of this was possibly perceived threats for Trump's safety and security?
I think there was a level of security concerns, but I do think the majority of it is weather. You know, if you look back at the campaign and you look back at some of the rallies, people passing out all over the place, there was that one event in that warehouse in Pennsylvania where several people started to, you know, collapse, and it turned into a dance party. I don't think Donald Trump wanted to see hypothermia, frostbite, and things like that, because, you know, these people wait online overnight for hours on end, and I doubt a number of the folks who are going to be doing that are going to be prepared for these below freezing and you know, possibly negative real field temperatures with the wind chill. I've been camping before. I've been camping in below zero before. If you're not prepared for it, you could get frostbite real quick. And I don't think he wanted to see that rule the day. True. I do think there was also a security concern. You know, you saw the vehicles that, you know, his motorcade equipped with what looked to be anti-drone or drone detection equipment on them. So there were probably security concerns as well. But I do think the primary motivating factor of moving these events indoors was to keep people not safe from some foreign terrorist threat. But this is dangerous weather. It's weather that a lot of people may not be used to or aptly prepared for. It's a little different than, you know, oh, I've handled the cold. I'll just, you know, put a jacket on and get in my car and go to a supermarket and go out. Like, if you're spending hours upon hours outside, if you don't have every square inch of your body bundled up, you're going to get frostbite, and that is dangerous, right? That is a really, really dangerous condition. I mean, I'm a season ticket holder for the New York Jets, or was. I don't go to the games anymore. My family is, and we were, you know, I'd gone to games since I'm 2 years old, and when it gets cold, you got to be bundled up, you know, masks and scarves, and everything's got to be covered, or else you're going to wind up in a really bad situation, and I don't think he wanted to see any of his supporters in that situation. So I believe the primary motivating factor was weather, was the cold, was the wind chill. There was some snow up in the East Coast. You guys know in the Eastern Seaboard, you saw what happened in Philly. That game was incredible with all that snow falling. And your kicker did a phenomenal job down the stretch there, nailing field goals in what looked to be a blizzard. I don't think he wanted to see those folks, all of his supporters, putting themselves in harm's way. For what is essentially just a formality, right? I mean, he could be sworn in anywhere, become the president anywhere. So I believe that element of safety came first and foremost. But I do think out of an abundance of not just caution over the weather, maybe there were some security concerns. There's no doubt that he's safer indoors. So it's a win-win on both fronts.
Earlier this morning, we had breaking news that Joe Biden, on his way out, was going to pardon Fauci, Milley, and Cheney, and immediately follows it up with, oh, this is not an admission of guilt. They didn't do anything wrong. Feels like another way to kind of take a shot at Trump on the way out, maybe steal a headline or two away from him on Inauguration Day. Your thoughts on that, and if, in fact, you believe that Trump was ever going to go after any of these individuals that Joe just pardoned?
I think Trump was definitely going after Cheney. I don't know if Trump was going to go after Fauci, because in Trump's first term, like it or not, he really enabled a lot of Anthony Fauci. I mean, we can't play revisionist history here. He trusted him. He spoke highly of him. I get it. You're not going to try and undermine, you know, the doctors at a time when we didn't know what was going on. I don't know if Trump was going to go after Fauci. I kind of feel like Trump wants to just move on from COVID because it wasn't his best moment. He handled it better than Joe Biden. But it wasn't his greatest moment. But I do think he would have gone after Cheney. I do think there's a possibility he would have gone after Mark Milley, and rightfully so. And obviously, Joe Biden feels like it's rightful also, or else he wouldn't have pardoned them, right? If he felt that there was no crimes that could have been, you know, investigated and prosecuted, there'd be no pardons. So I'm upset about it. But my goal is this, right? Eyes forward. Donald Trump in under 3 hours is going to be the president of the United States. This actually, it may help Donald Trump, because now if anybody does go after these people, like state-level attorney generals, it's obviously not Trump that's directing it. He has no say over it, because the on a federal level, they can't be prosecuted. Also, now they can be brought in, they could be subpoenaed, and they lose their Fifth Amendment right to silence because of the fact that they're no longer criminally responsible for anything they're going to be questioned about. And if they decide that they're going to lie to Congress or not show up and not abide by these subpoenas, well, we have precedent for Bannon and Navarro and these guys that were held in contempt of Congress and went to prison. So but I look at it like this. As much as I wanted him to go after Liz Cheney, is that working too much in the past when there's so many problems to fix that are in front of us? Are we going to divert resources to work on things that happened behind us? And I get it. You don't want these crimes to go unpunished. You don't want the precedent to be set that, you know, if you're buddy-buddy with the president, you could do whatever you want, get a preemptive pardon at the end of your term or at the end of his term and not have to, face any accountability. So I get it from that standpoint. The pardons are in. I see people asking if they're going to be challenged. Good luck with that. A president's right to pardon is absolute. It is their absolute power. I mean, you could say, oh, he's a dementia patient. He doesn't know where he is. A court's going to probably laugh that out of a courtroom. I would say, let's not focus on that. Let's focus on fixing the country. Does putting Liz Cheney in jail fix the country as much as mass deportations and focusing on becoming energy independent again and holding China at bay and, you know, maybe tariffs and replacing the IRS? I mean, if you asked me, what would I rather see, Liz Cheney in jail or the federal income tax replaced with tariffs? I'm going to say, let's get rid of the federal income tax. Screw Liz Cheney. She doesn't deserve the time of day. And let's fix our country. I mean, I'm upset. I'm very upset that he did this. But I think it's to take away from the day. I think it's to steal headlines. I think it's to, one-up Trump on Trump's way in and Biden's way out. I would love to see accountability. State level, attorney generals, they can go ahead and bring that accountability for us if they want. And again, there are other avenues where we can now get them on the record to talk about what they did, because those crimes, they are absolved of now, in theory. So you could bring them in. If they lie to Congress, you can hit them with those crimes. But unfortunately, the ship has sailed. And I think we all have to kind of be not necessarily at peace with it, but accept it. The ship has sailed. Let's make America great again. Let's keep our eyes forward instead of looking backward. And let's turn this country around and do what we elected Donald Trump to do. And my motivating factor when I voted for Donald Trump wasn't to put Liz Cheney in jail. I would like to see it, but that wasn't my number one reason. I want a strong border. I want a booming economy. I want to cut the spending. I want our country to be respected again. I'd love to start cutting foreign aid, stop sending money overseas to all these other countries where we have all these problems here, mass deportations, bringing jobs back into our country. All of those things to me are far more important than Liz Cheney or Mark Milley or Anthony Fauci. Accountability is important, but those things, I believe, hold a, they're on a higher on the list of priorities.
Completely agree, and perfectly well said. Speaking of priorities, TikTok is one of the priorities, certainly in the news cycle the last 24 hours. It was gone for all of a cup of coffee, and then it comes back. But what is, it's interesting. It's one of these things where I feel like everybody I ask, they say, oh, I hate TikTok. Yet the truth is, half of the country is on TikTok, 170 million people. But I feel like we can have our cake and eat it, too. We can have the free speech. We can generate money if you're a content creator. But we can also protect people's identities. Maybe it's easier said than done. What do you think the solution is to ensure that not only China is not taking stuff that they shouldn't be taking, but our own government is not doing stuff they shouldn't be doing?
Well, China's taking our data, whether TikTok is on your phone or not. It's unfortunate, right? But it's happening. I'm not saying it's right. I'm not saying it's something I like to live with, but it's happening. Whether you have TikTok on your phone or not, China's got your information, period. And that's just what's going on. I believe, and this is the libertarian in me, and some people are like, no, it's national security threat. Okay, I think it's a bigger national security threat that China has farmland around our military bases than anything else. And I don't see a bill being passed to ban that. So what I do see is a bill being passed to ban TikTok and people who passed the bill investing in Meta ahead of passing the bill. You know, again, congressional stock trading. Wonderful, wonderful thing they've got going on there. I don't like this ban at all. Not because they're telling you it's about protecting us from China. Fine. If you want to protect us from China, let's start with the fact that they own too much land around our bases instead of a social media platform. Okay, that's where I think we should start. We're not starting there. We're looking at TikTok. So I think that maybe it's a little disingenuous there. It's kind of a way to give the government a little more power to start banning apps that they don't like in the future. And that's what I'm afraid of, right? Well, if it's an app controlled by a foreign adversary, it can be banned. Well, I got news for you. Elon Musk did not spend $44 billion of his own money to buy X. The Saudis helped him out, okay? A lot of other countries helped him out in some of these cases. What is going to stop a Democrat-led administration, if one does happen in the not too distant future, from saying, well, you know, the Saudis are a foreign adversary, they're a sponsor of terror, so X is banned, right? Or, you know, amending this bill or using the precedent that they've set with TikTok to ban Rumble, right? Or Truth Social. I mean, that's what I'm afraid of. The more power you're giving the government to just ban things that they don't like for a reason that is honestly very arbitrary. Again, if they don't like China having access to our country, well, maybe the farmland around our sensitive military installation is a little more important than TikTok. That said, I think we need to return to personal accountability. If the argument is, well, children are being addicted to TikTok and it's going up, it's like, you know, mental fentanyl and the algorithm is malicious. If you're a parent, we've talked about this before, with the cookie monster, right? If you don't want your kids eating cookies, don't bring cookies into the house. If you don't want your child using TikTok, don't let them install it on their phone. There is a way to do it, okay? You have to step in as the parent. The government cannot be looked at, oh man, I hate this app. Government, fix it. Okay, if you don't like it, don't use it. I like TikTok. I'm not addicted to it. I go on it maybe once every few days to kind of see a couple things, and then I turn the app off, okay? If it's this big malicious thing that nobody can help themselves and they get addicted to, I would have a problem. I don't have a problem because I make sure that I'm not going to be addicted to a social media app like TikTok. That being said, I spend a lot of time on X. Maybe it's an addiction. Maybe it's not. I don't know what you want to call it.
Oh, it is. It is an addiction. Yes, I'm taking the gum and the patch for it right now, actually.
But the thing about TikTok is, okay, if people are making money, and this is the other talking point that I don't like. They're like, oh, well, now these people have to get a real job. Well, I'm a big believer in the free market, right? I don't watch makeup tutorial videos. My wife does. I don't watch them. I don't watch, you know, cooking videos and here's how you chop the pickle and put it in and da-da-da-da-da and these dance trends. I don't watch them. A lot of people do watch them, right? I don't watch Joe Rogan. I don't think it's entertaining. It's too long for me. I've watched one episode of Joe Rogan. It was the one that Trump was on. That's it, right? A lot of people do. It's the free market. If there is a market and a demand for a product, a service, a form of content, and you can fill that void and you can sell it and you can monetize it and generate an adequate income off of it, guess what? It's a real job. I didn't like when the government decided whose jobs are essential and non-essential. I don't like it when somebody who's a little envious of maybe some of these TikTokers who get to stay home and create. And by the way, that's not a really luxurious life. It's hard when content becomes your job because you can't fail. If you fail, you don't pay your bills, right? So it's really difficult when you transition it from hobby to full-time job. It becomes very, very difficult. There's a little bit more pressure. These men, these women who are creating content, maybe you're out there making a fool of yourself, doing things that are dangerous. That's the risk that you're taking to generate an income. And if people are consuming stupidity, if there's a market for stupidity, and we know there's a market for stupidity, right? Look at some of the reality TV shows, the Honey Boo Boo and all these things that were out there for so long. There's definitely a market for stupid stuff on national television as well as there is on social media. If you could fill that void and monetize it, good for you. You deserve to be able to make that income. And it is, in my opinion, a real job. It's not a conventional job. It's not a traditional job. I picked up a broom for the majority of my teenage career, right? Working in different stores, sweeping the floor, cleaning toilets. It's not fun. I had to do it. If there was TikTok and I could sound like somebody back then, maybe I wouldn't have had to do it. But it wasn't there. Technology wasn't there. All right. The bottom line is here. Here's what I would say, though, a word of advice to these creators, because now you know that it can be gone in a blink of an eye. All right. Yep. We've been through this. Conservatives have been through this. We were demonetized, deplatformed. And this is the difference. The government came out and banned an app. OK, but back over the last 4 years, the government was actually banning actual people from the Internet. OK, there was a time where I was not allowed on Facebook at all. And then when I was allowed on Facebook, I could not post a link to my website where my content was monetized because it was listed as spam, and it was an instant community guidelines violation. That would happen on Facebook. That would happen on X or Twitter. Not X. X is a lot better now. It's not perfect, but it's better. That would happen on YouTube. That would happen everywhere. They made it debanking, demonetizing. They made it impossible for actual people to make a living online if they disagreed with their politics. If you're a creator on TikTok and you have a massive following, my advice to you would be don't put all your eggs in one basket, because if that basket goes away, you're done. Make, set up your community on several different apps. I don't like YouTube. YouTube is very popular. It's easy for people to use. If you're a makeup tutorial person on TikTok, migrate some of your community to YouTube and say, hey, we got 90 days now. I don't want to lose this again. Here's where I'm building a secondary, community. Build on Rumble. Build on X. Build on Instagram. Don't just keep your eggs in one basket. And that's now you know what it feels like. I'm not saying, haha, revenge. This is a good thing. Now you know what we went through. And we didn't have the option to build on some of these other platforms because they didn't exist yet. Rumble didn't exist yet. Getter and X and Truth Social, they didn't exist yet. They do now. So if I'm a creator on TikTok right now and that's where I'm making the majority of my income, that's fine. You can continue to do that. But you should build on other platforms as well. It's as simple as just posting your videos over there and every once in a while telling your following on TikTok, hey, follow me on YouTube in case we lose this app again. It'll make sense to people, and it's what we had to do. And that's why the conservative media ecosystem, the podcasts and the if you want to call it alternative media, that's why it's everywhere. It is everywhere right now because we decided if there's a platform, we're going to be on it. Because if we get banned here, at least we're over there.
Exactly right. Sean Farish. Ladies and gentlemen, give it up for Sean Farish, a.k.a. Donald J. Trump. Enjoy the rest of Inauguration Day, brother. Always enjoy chatting with you, and we will talk again this Friday.
All right. Sounds good, guys. Enjoy Inauguration Day. Under 3 hours, and we get our guy back, so let's do it.
There you go. Sean Farish live from Tennessee. We will come back, get to a big three from Dawn, and then Kamala Harris is on the way, and Mark Fucetti is here.
Yeah.
He's got the Kalen Company flag. He is ready to hand it off. Mark, I want you to be like Sergeant Slaughter back in the day. Give it a good wave here. Like this is 1980s. There we go.
And come on down. We are live at the Newtown Athletic Club. We have breakfast being served, and then lunch is coming up.
Yeah. All kinds.
So you got to join us.
Yeah, well, you won't miss a thing here at the Newtown Athletic Club for the inauguration.
All right, big three, Kamala Harris, music, movies, and a whole lot more. 9 o'clock hour brought to you by the Piazza Auto Group, where you can purchase the all-new Acura ZDX with an incredible 0% financing for 72 months, plus complimentary charging bundles. Visit Piazza Acura of Ardmore, Reading, or Westchester, and shop online at PiazzaAcura.com. The big three coming up next from the new Newtown Athletic Club, Kale & Company on Talk Radio 1210 WPA.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. TNCs apply.
Do you have a dark curiosity? Heart Starts Pounding, Horrors, Hauntings, and Mysteries is a weekly podcast hosted by me, Kaylin Moore. Each week, I'll take you on a dark journey through terrifying true urban legends, bizarre true crime cases, chilling tales of backwoods horror, and more. So if you're looking to join a passionate community of the darkly curious, check out Heart Starts Pounding on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. And remember, stay curious.
HD.
It's Kale and Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey.
Yo, it's Jay Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino
and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
Yeah. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
As we get set for the flag handoff, Stalker.
Yeah, so we have Sergeant Mark Fusetti, who's over here. He's waving the flag here. Stand, if you can stand in
there
front
of...
Yeah, that's Sergeant Mark Fu, for everybody who knows him. There we go. And then he just had it. Kirk, can you bring the... That's why I gave you the microphone there, my friend. Yeah, if you can give them to Sergeant Mark Fu... Did you wave it proudly, sir?
I waved it proudly. It went on a nice trip with me. I can't really give those details. But we had fun.
Nice.
It waved proudly the other night. My son wakes me up at midnight and says, Dad, there's cops around in our house.
Uh-oh.
I look out. There's, I believe, Bucks County Sheriff's. They're outside. Dogs and everything. All under the flag. But... they were chasing somebody and obviously didn't catch them. So
a lot of people A lot of people were saying that by carrying that flag, you put your personal safety and security at risk. To which I said, my man Fusetti used to serve high risk warrants. Yeah. I think he'll be able to handle himself quite well.
Nah, we were okay. It had a good trip, let's just say that.
Nice.
We had fun.
So I messed up because I promised it to two people at the same time.
There you go.
So Tom and Perkasy is out here and Ray and Warminster, and I promised both of them the flag. So Tom and Perkasy is going to wave it. He's going to take it now, right? Kirk, yeah, there you go. And you're going to take it now, right? And then you're going to give it to...
Yes, I
Red. Speak into the mic. Speak into the microphone. Come on, Kirk.
Yeah, I'll be waving this thing very prominently on the back of my Jeep.
Nice.
I have a flag mount that I invented. We're in the process of patenting it. And this flag is going to be in part of my daily parade. Wherever I drive, it's a parade, and it's going to be all over Bucks County.
Beautiful.
So it's like a pop-up Trump Kale and Company parade wherever you go. Is that awesome?
That's right.
That's right.
Positive
That's
energy.
Absolutely right.
And then you are going to figure out a way to hand it off to Ray and Warminster, right?
Yeah.
Whatever we got to do, man. You're an ex-Marine, man. You go farther than I do, but...
That's right.
My father said I never would have amounted to anything, man. I won a flag.
Woohoo!
The All last right. time I won something was Bon Ami at some kind of a... flea market, you know, so now
Kirk,
so there you go. I'm Kirk, moving up in the world.
Kirk, can we do something during the commercial break? Can you take a video out there of Tom from Perkasy putting it on his All right, cool.
Yeah.
So during the commercial break, we can take one of those cameras and like on YouTube. All right, cool. So if you're watching on YouTube, you can see he will put it on his truck. Don't worry, we won't show your Jeep, excuse me.
It's a Jeep.
We won't show
you. I thought you were taking a shot at my truck because there's another fellow Honda Ridgeline owner in the building. Where's the other Honda? There he is
there.
So two of us that know great trucks.
Okay. All right. So we'll do that during the commercial break. So if you're watching on YouTube, you can see all that.
There you go. All right. We will come back. We've heard from the winner of the 2024 election in Donald J. Trump. What do you say we hear from the loser one last time? Kamala Harris will join us next on Kale & Company, live from the Newtown Athletic Club here in Newtown, Bucks County, on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
This is the Kale & Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and on the free Odyssey app.
Esty, a.k.a. Kamala Harris, is under the weather.
Yes.
So she just alerted us.
She's Kamala's hungover.
Yeah, so. Kamala had too much Cabernet last night. She had the Rams on the money line. Yeah. She lost. So she's unable to join us, but that's fine.
We'll work it out and try and get her on sometime this week so she can still give her farewell address.
That is correct. So Dawn Show coming up at the top of the hour. Dawn's in hair and makeup now. She'll be back in a few minutes. In the meantime, let's get to what we like to call What's on the Cut Sheet Part 2.
What's on the Cut Sheet
Part 2? You guys remember this California mom who befriended Gavin Newsom?
Oh, yes, right at the beginning of the wildfire.
So she was on with Piers Morgan over the weekend. And she said that he wasn't on the phone with Biden. He was talking to his wife.
Yes.
Remember, he was like, I'm on the phone with the president right now. She's like, okay, can I see? He's like, I've been trying.
I believe I said he was on the phone with either like a delivery or a takeout service. Yeah. But yes.
Let's roll cut 11, Phil, if you will, my friend.
Why is the president not taking your call?
Because it's not going through.
Why? So
have to get cell service.
Let's get it. I want to be here when you call the president.
So the question is, has the governor lived up to his word? Well, joining me now is Rachel herself. Rachel, great to have you on Uncensored. I watched that with mounting anger, actually, on your behalf, because you were just getting so obviously fobbed off by Gavin Newsom. Anger was palpable and entirely justified. How do you feel now that everyone's seen this video? How do you feel about it?
I'm an American, Piers. Thanks for having me on. Am I allowed to use the word that starts with W on your show?
Absolutely.
He's a wanker. That's all I can say. It was insanity. It was pure insanity. It's still insanity.
You can stop it. I just wanted her to say wanker.
Yeah, Jimmy Kelly, I need flubbed off on my board.
Fobbed off. F-O-B-B-E-D.
Fobbed off. Yep. I need fobbed off from Piers Morgan on the board.
Yep.
But what would you expect? I mean, do you really believe Gavin Newsom in that moment was on the phone or trying to get on the phone with Joe Biden?
No.
Joe Biden only works from noon to four to begin with.
Yep. I'm not going to play it because we're going to get flagged as soon as I play Saturday Night Live. Did you watch Dave Chappelle?
I watched the entire show just because of Chappelle.
I have to ask you, what did you think of the opening monologue?
Underwhelming.
It was 17 minutes and it was very preachy. It was very slow. I like some of the jokes. It was good.
Smoking a cigarette.
I like the way he delivers, but that's his act.
Yeah.
That's what he does. I like the way he was smoking a cigarette and sitting there and, you know, telling tales, but it was very like on my high horse. This is the Dave Chappelle.
Yes.
And I don't like this.
So, but how much of this is him being on NBC versus what you would get on Netflix?
I think he's very full of himself these days. And that's coming from a place. I loved Dave Chappelle.
So do I.
I just don't think that was a good set. I don't think it was a good
experience. It's actually laughable when you say, who was the best performance on Saturday Night Live? X or Chappelle? And it was X because of the cold open where they were basically ridiculing and mocking MSNBC with their own talent.
Agreed.
That was better than Chappelle.
Yep, 100% it was. Speaking of Gavin Newsom, he was on MSNBC over the weekend talking about the wildfires, what he's doing. Let's start here with cut 28, where he has a message for President-elect Trump.
First responders on the ground to get accurate information out there to the people of California. I'm more interested from you and how damaging it is when you have somebody with that type of a platform who is next week going to be the president of the United States is injecting inaccurate information about the worst wildfires in American history.
Let me answer that by thanking President of the United States, Joe Biden, who within 36 hours supported a major disaster declaration by text. Within a few minutes later, committed 100. He could have just committed 75%, 90. He said 100% of all the costs for disaster recovery. That took the time to meet with first responders, was here on the ground. I want to thank President Joe Biden. And then I want to offer that as an example to the incoming president of presidential leadership, a president of the United States of America, being here for the American citizen. What's not, I think, helpful or beneficial is this string of consciousness, these wild-eyed fantasies that somehow the state water project, we have reservoirs that are at or near historic highs, full, completely full, that somehow there's a magical spigot in California,
he's in
Northern California.
He's in full damage control.
This guy, he is more concerned with allegations of spreading disinformation than he is the factual spreading of wildfires in his own state. This is now the second straight Sunday that this guy has put on this image, this optics, the setting he's in. If I recall last week on Monday, you played Gavin Newsom, I think, standing in the same spot with another MSNBC host. I don't know if it was Welker or it was somebody else, but yesterday with Psaki, and you hear the helicopters in the background, he wants all the visual and all the audio to go along with it.
He does.
He's only concerned about his potential run in 2028.
Steve Bannon was interviewed by John Carl. I can't believe I'm even saying that.
Wait, but ABC interviewed Steve Bannon.
ABC this week interviewed Steve Bannon. And he talked about the tech CEOs. Remember, we talked about the Joe Biden's farewell address where he talked about the oligarchy.
Yeah, the oligarchy.
The tech CEOs. Steve Bannon addressed that. This is what he said. This is cut 21, Phil. Go.
The three richest Americans ever. You're going to see Elon Musk, Mark Zuckerberg, Jeff Bezos, prime seats. That doesn't seem like the forgotten men and women that Trump talked about last time. Are you surprised to see that?
I am not. They're there as supplicants. They're not there as the oligarchs. Remember what Biden said about the oligarchs. Jonathan, you know better than anybody, because you've chronicled this in detail. We had no power. President Trump was out, and I mean when out, the political class in the Republican Party and Fox News turned against him. We're going to make him a non-person.
He was banned from their platforms
for, I think, 18 months. But as soon as Zuckerberg said, I've been invited, I'm going, the floodgates opened up and they were all there knocking, trying to be supplicants. So I look at this, and I think most people in our movement look at this as President Trump broke the oligarchs. He broke them and they surrendered. They came and said, we'll take off any constraints. There'll be no more checkings, everything. And when Biden talks about that, they create the oligarchs. They only became oligarchs and they flipped on them when they had surrendered. And now they're going to come to Trump saying, I view this as September of 1945, the Missouri. And you have that Imperial High Command.
The Imperial Japanese.
And he's like Douglas MacArthur. They're there to, that is an official surrender. Okay, and I think it's powerful.
Mark, all right, you can stop it. You can stop it. You can stop it.
So this is an interesting revelation. This is the same network that just had to shell out $15 million from George Stephanopoulos, making the claim that Trump is a rapist.
Yep.
And now you have. If you would have said to me at the end of 2024, who will ABC interview in early 2025 that you never would imagine in your most insane dreams? I never thought I would see Steve Bannon on ABC. The question is now, moving forward, will some of these controversial voices be platformed by the mainstream media with Trump in his second term?
They'd be smart to do it.
They will be smart.
They'd be smart to do it.
I totally agree.
There you go.
All right, that'll do it. Cut sheet part due in the books. We'll come back, find out what's on tap for the Dawn Show, and I believe we do have an in-studio performance of Phil Omquist.
Who told me he'll be out here at 11 o'clock.
So Phil will be out here after he gives us a live rendition of Today in Music History. Phil Omquist out here to sign autographs and talk about bad Jets football. And we'll do that on the other side of Kale and Company here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
It's Kale and Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
Before he comes out to sign autographs, it's time for Phil Omquist with Today in Music History.
What happened on this day in music history? Music history. Kale and Company.
Today, January 20th, we celebrate the birthdays of Nathan Connolly from Snow Patrol, Sid Wilson from Slipknot, Paul Stanley from Kiss, Ian Hill from Judas Priest, and Tracy Guns from LA Guns. We also lost Meatloaf on this day in 2022, Etta James in 2012, and DJ Alan Freed in 1965. Sings include What's Going On by Marvin Gaye in 71, She Loves You by the Beatles in 64, and Jump in the Fire by Metallica in 84. Albums include Pyromania by Def Leppard in 83, City to City by Jerry Rafferty in 78, Meet the Beatles by the Beatles in 64, Between the Buttons by the Stones in 67, and Infinity by Journey in 78. Also in 88, the Beatles were inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. In 69, Led Zeppelin performed in front of 55 fans on the night of Richard Nixon's inauguration. And actually, speaking of Nixon, James Brown performed at the inaugural ball, even though he endorsed Hubert Humphrey. In 58, Elvis received his draft notice. And in 65, Elvis. Both the Stones and the Kinks made their debut on ABC's Shindig. But lastly, on this day in 82, Ozzy Osbourne bit the head off a bat on stage in Iowa, thinking it was plastic and not real. For Kale and Company, I'm Phil Omquist.
Phil Omquist with another riveting rendition of what occurred today in music history. Ooh. As we find out what Dawn Stensland has lined up in exactly 7 minutes and 5 seconds.
Yeah, and we're a little over 2 hours from the big moment when DJT, our incoming president, becomes the president, number 47 again. Can't wait. So we continue on with the celebration. Somebody will join me right at 10 o'clock who could be there today, right there on the dais, who was there in D.C. for all the celebrations. But you know what? She chose to come back home, traveling overnight last night in that snowstorm, to be here with you, Pennsylvania, with you, Bucks wow. County. And she brings forth a very special message right from the top, right from President Trump. So we can't wait to talk to her. Also, some local Bucks officials and elected officials who can breathe a sigh of relief and talk about at the school board level, etc.
By the way, if you're watching right now on YouTube, just stay right there. We're going to continue the feed. We'll have the inauguration live on the YouTube. If you can't come down here to the Newtown Athletic Club, but you should definitely make a trip down here. Dawn show, and then Dom yes. will be live starting at noon all day all
right,
here today.
There you go.
Well, Dom is. I think he's going to come on a little early.
Oh,
you know what I'm saying? Like sure. 11, whenever he can, 11:40-ish or 11:45, because we're leading up to the moment then when we, yeah. of course, you're not going to miss a thing. We will, when Trump starts signing the documents noonish, we'll yeah. go, WPHT will carry all that for you.
There you go. Everybody, thank you so much for coming out. It was Woo-hoo! A pleasure to see everybody here. Don't go anywhere. Dawn is up next, yes. then Dom, and then I'm going to come out there and say hello, and then Stalker's going to go back and, I don't know, tip the pool boy or whatever. Whatever he does from his compound. All right, everybody, have a great rest of your Monday. As John Fetterman would say, good night, everybody.
Start your day with Kale and Company. Weekday mornings 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and the free Odyssey app.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around waiting for the track to dry is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hi, I'm PJ Vogt, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Search Engine. We try to make sense of the world, one question at a time. No question too big, no question too small. We will even answer your questions if you send them in. Stuff like, what happens when a cemetery goes out of business? What should we do about teens using AI to do their homework? Who buys luggage at the airport luggage store? Follow and listen to Search Engine in partnership with Odyssey, wherever you get your podcasts.